So I'm Dawn. I'm one of the part-timers here. And I'm really glad you're here. It's a gorgeous day out there, but you decided to come here, so thank you. There'll be a lot of day left for you when I'm done preaching in a couple, 2-3 hours. So today we're starting this series called Real People, and I want to tell you just a little bit. Well, first I want to move these things because I need room. I want to tell you a little bit about how this series came to be. So hopefully most of you know, if not all of you know, that Peter Christ, who's been interning with us, I don't know, where's Peter, for the last 2 years. Anyway, he's graduating this next Sunday. Give it up. Woo! Yeah. And so he will be graduating and then heading, there he is. Oh, see, he had to make the grand entrance. That's just like you, Peter. So he'll be graduating, and then he'll be heading back to Red Lodge for the summer to continue to run his restaurant there that he owns. And then we may see him back in some capacity here and there in the fall. But for now, it's a little bit of goodbye. We love you. And then hopefully some of you know that I am going back to school starting the end of this month. And so I'm technically still going to be a pastor here, but I'm going to be on what we're calling an extended leave of absence. So, and by extended, I do mean extended. And so, anyway, this will be my last time preaching for a while. Not forever, but for a little while. So, with those two things in mind, Greg thought it'd be really nice to give Peter and I a chance to really personalize our message in this series. And so, Peter and Greg were sitting around the office one day brainstorming about what they might want to share. And Peter thought it'd be interesting for him to share some of the things he learned about life and people and God and faith in all of his years running a restaurant business. So you're going to hear from Peter about that a little bit next week. We picked the most flattering picture we could find. What can I tell you? And then Greg decided, as he reflected back, he thought, well, he would like to share a little bit about some of the things about God and life and faith that he learned while driving a forklift. I mean, because why not? And who knew? So anyway, the end of this month, you'll get to hear from Greg. Maybe he'll drive a forklift in here. I'm not really sure. But anyway, you'll hear from him. Now, of course, all you guys know that we learn as much, if not more, about God and life and faith out there, being real people in the real world, as we do here. So that's part of the goal here. Well, of course, then it was my turn to try to figure out what the heck I wanted to talk about and which part of my life or previous work I wanted to try to talk about today. And in typical form, I could not decide because I got kind of caught up with and maybe a little bit enamored with this idea that we all go through these seasons in our lives. And some of the seasons are connected to work and some are connected to personal experiences. But we all go through these seasons in our lives where even if it doesn't feel like it at the time, we're learning so much and growing so much through those seasons. So I look back on a few of mine right out of college. I spent 7 years in the insurance industry as a claims rep. And so what that meant was that every day I would meet with people who had lost anything from like a car or a roof to a spouse or a partner or a child. And it was truly gut-wrenching work much of the time. And if I'm honest with myself, there's pretty much not a minute of that job that I really loved. But I learned so much in that work about people and human nature and the power of perspective and what it is to really suffer a loss and to really grieve a real loss like that. So that was one season. Then I went into the season of starting to have our kids, and apparently we must have thought that this was a race because we did have 3 under 3. Not that it wasn't wonderful. I'd do that again differently, perhaps. But my kids are sitting here with such unamused looks on their faces. Anyway, but you know, it was exhilarating and new and awesome, even while it was, you know, mundane and isolating and exhausting. But I think in that season I learned how to be in the now, because when I look back on it, I don't think I savored it nearly as much as I wished I would have. Then there's the season of starting to work in healthcare, and that was about 11 years ago for me. And I started out working in the healthcare environment because I needed money, I needed health insurance, and I needed flexible work hours. And what I was kind of amazed to find is that I just loved everything about working in the healthcare environment. I love the patients, I love the families, the visitors, I loved all the levels of the providers, I loved all the people that it takes to run a 600-bed hospital like Abbott. And truly, there wasn't a day that I went to work where I wasn't at some point in my shift struck by the gravity of the fact that I'm working in a place where every day people are born, people die, people suffer, and people are healed. And it's such a powerful environment to work in. And so I realized, at the end of the day, I realized that I would never be able to fully leave that kind of environment, which is why I'm going back to school at the end of the month to try to become a physician assistant. So that's that. And then the last season, just in my nutshell version here, I had this overlapping season starting in healthcare, and then this season of realizing that there is actually a God, and not just for someone else, but also for me. And that led to the seminary years, all six of them. Can't hardly say that without cracking up. 6 years it took me. But anyway, 6 years of getting to, yeah, you should laugh, Becca. Keep laughing. 6 years of getting to drive down River Road over to St. Paul and sitting there getting to soak in and learn about all these things that I most wanted to learn in the world. And I mean, I felt like every day was just a gift. I really did. And then to get to come and put what I was learning into practice at a place like this, I don't know. Here's where I fall apart. But I'm so grateful for all of you and what you've been to me here. So, and with that, I'll get to what I really want to get to today, because I don't really want to just stand in my own puddle. But what I really want to do today is give you a chance to hear from a few other people and give a few other people a chance to talk about the seasons that they're either in right now or have been in at some point in their lives. And my hope is that as you listen to their stories, you can find some hope or maybe encouragement or courage or joy or maybe perspective, whatever it is, that you can find something that helps you with your own season of your life that you're in right now. Because, you know, while each of us have our own entirely different seasons, at a very deep level, a lot of things are very much the same. And so you've heard a band called The Birds probably say this many times, but the person that said it first is the teacher in Ecclesiastes, and that's, there is a season for everything under heaven. There's a season for everything under heaven. And when you couple that, when you put that together with one of the lines that Justin read earlier from Ecclesiastes, you know, that God has made all things beautiful in its time, that God has made everything beautiful in its time. When you put those two things together, you start to get this deep sense and this deep feel for how no season lasts forever and how no season is wasted, that God is making every season beautiful, even if it doesn't feel like it at the time, and that God is lifting you up through every season. So I invite you to just relax. We're going to fly loose in the saddle today. You're going to hear from three different... Laska's like, yep, very loose in the saddle. We're going to hear from three different people today as they share a little bit about their season, a season in their lives. And Laska is Tap is going to start us out today. And I asked her to read... I asked her to read a little bit from Ecclesiastes to start out, and then okay. She's just going to share. Hi, Laska.
Hi.
Chill out. Do you want this moved up?
No, this is good. I need a little space.
All right.
So I haven't ever gone before a group and talked about me before, because that's sort of what it is. It's about our season. But first, Ecclesiastes. So I'm going to read the part that Don was just talking about. There is a season, there is a time. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So first, when Dawn asked me to come up and speak about our seasons, and she came over to my house to help me figure out a clue of what I might say, we read this, and I just think that every time you hear this, maybe unless it's sung by the birds, you kind of get a chill. So, and as I'm talking about the part I'm talking about, when I was with Don, the part that came to mind that seemed to make a lot of sense for Brent and me in our life is a time to tear down and a time to build, except that it seems like we're always doing them at the same time. So our season is kind of those mixed up. It's not an either or. It's like the time is the same. But so I'm going to look at my notes as I talk here. Don asked me to talk a few minutes about the seasons of our life. And first I wanted to talk about the one we're in now. And I had really didn't know how to talk about this until actually this morning, which is very typical of our life. But I got up this morning and rolled out of bed at 8:45, a little late because Brent and I had our first actual date alone, the two of us, last night for months. But yes, which is perfect for Mother's Day, and it was just my birthday too. Yes, and Brent, credit goes to Brent. He arranged it all. And I rolled out of bed and I put on my Jacob's Well shirt, and I went downstairs and I got my tea and so I could see, and I had my tea and I went in the bathroom and I looked at my shirt and my first thought was, I've got to change my shirt. And my second thought was, wait, no, that's it, it's perfect. Because I'm wearing my nice Jacob's Well shirt, but if you came up closer, you'd see, or maybe you can see, that it's very wrinkled. So my shirt's very wrinkled, and so for talking about this first part of our life now, I thought the shirt was perfect because I noticed it's very wrinkled and then I noticed that it has some cat hair in it. And I noticed it has some dirt from our yard and it has some of breakfast, lunch, or dinner from the kids when I picked them up. And that made me think of how this is like, so like our life now, because I haven't ironed in 11 years. And you'll hear more about why that is. And even though this shirt has... It's not that I haven't washed it. It's just that it's being worn well. I'm using it. There's a lot going on in it, and so it's messy. And that's despite my attempts to keep the shirt and life tidy. And also, the shirt's kind of big on me, but there's a lot of room to grow in it. So I thought, it's really dirty and messy, but it's a really great shirt. It's a nice color, right? It's my Jacob's Well shirt, so it's got lots of meaning. There's meaning in the words, and they're provocative, and they make me think even now after that series, and maybe they make other people think. And it's a strong shirt. It's built to last. It gets pulled, and it still snaps back. And it also connects me to this place that I love, and it connects me with people, especially because this shirt actually came from Melissa Locke. It was hers first. She gave it to me, so I think of her every time. So this shirt is a lot like parenthood after you've just moved back to the United States from abroad and have both gone through a dual career change. So there are many parents who do iron and are cleaner, but we're not those parents right now in our lives. So that goes back to the season we came from. The very beginning of 2001, we moved to Hong Kong, which is part of China. I'm fluent in Chinese, and I'm a lawyer, and so we moved there for my brand new job, which was working at a major international law firm, advising on Chinese business, employment, and tax law for the, you know, you think of your major international company, and they were one of the clients at the time. And so I had the job where I was in the office, and I was working 80 hours a week, and it was very interesting, it was very rewarding, and obviously it was... draining, and it didn't always leave a lot of time for life outside of work. When we got to Hong Kong, Brent, he got what we called the fun job, which was he became an editor and director at CNN International. So he might work in the mornings or the evenings, but he always worked 8 hours. He didn't have to work more than that, unless the times when they sent him to places like Japan and Australia, when he got to have fun there too. He had the job where he'd call me at 3 in the afternoon, because he was bodyboarding in the ocean, and I was typing on my memo and had 9 hours to go at work. So, but we made it work, and it was great that he got that job, especially because we met all of our really good friends, all from around the world, through that job. And then, in 2005, we had a son, Henry. And as soon as he was born, I realized that I couldn't put 110% into my job and 110% into my kid. I had thought that I was going to be the type of person who could balance them, and I had a role model at work who was another mother who had three kids in almost the same period of time you did, while working the same hours I was working and so forth. But after my son was born, I realized that I was not, that I couldn't do the type of work I was doing without that 100, I was 110% person. You know, I had to do it really well. And your clients are like your children. So you have to take care of them. I don't mean in childish ways, but you need to really attend to that. So we started thinking, what were we going to do? So the first thing I tried was part-time, and that was 40 hours a week for half the pay. So that wasn't really working either. And then family was on the other side of the world, and we tried jet-lagging Henry once, and that was really, really bad, and decided we shouldn't do that either. So we came to the conclusion after lots of agonizing thought, because Hong Kong, if you've ever been there, is an electric, wonderful place full of international people, oceans. You can travel anywhere in the world just like that, or at least in Asia just like that, so it's and great food and stuff. So it was a hard choice. But we decided to move back to the Twin Cities and came to St. Paul, and when we came back, we didn't plan on me working right away, and Brent started doing editing, but the market was just very different. He wasn't finding what he wanted, and so now Brent is in nursing school, so he's going to become a nurse. And he just, by the way, last week did his finals and did very well in all of them, despite being very nervous. I know I didn't have to say that, but anyhow, he did want me to say that, huh? You squeaked by, okay. He's very modest. And I've taught yoga and Pilates for years, so I do that part-time, and then I'm also trying to be a writer, knock on wood. That's the first time I've ever said that, but anyhow. So we are just in lots of change and lots of time commitments still while we have our two kids. So I don't know what else to say than that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Wouldn't you have picked her for being fluent in Chinese and being a lawyer? And I would have called that. Thanks, Laska. So I want to just make a transition by just praying a little bit. God, be with the people who are in point of discernment and who might be overwhelmed as they're trying to discern which direction life might go. There are so many people kind of sitting on the cusp of different things. And so be with all those people. And as with every season, God, help us to trust that you're making everything beautiful in its time. So the next story I want to share with you is our own Pete Hines, who's, put your hand up, Pete. He's awesome. Pete's a brave guy because he's had some real struggles with mental illness. And I think it takes a lot of courage to talk about it out loud. And he is willing to do that. The other awesome thing about Pete, which you'll hear about in a minute, is that he's an artist. And so Pete gets a little bit of stage fright, so I am going to read his story today. He wrote it up. I'm going to read it. And while I'm reading his story, I'm going to roll some of his artwork. So just sit back and enjoy. Okay, this is Pete's story. I've struggled with generalized anxiety for much of my life, and about 1 year ago, I fell into major depression after I was laid off from my job of many years. Much of my identity and my social connections were wrapped up in my job, so losing it took a big toll. With the job market being what it is, it was very discouraging trying to find another position that would pay anything near what I had been making. Some months later, I had a couple of fainting episodes that landed me in the intensive care unit of the hospital. The fainting was due to an allergic reaction, but also, I realized later, to repressed anxiety and major depression. I felt a good deal better when I was discharged from the hospital due to all the care I had received. But soon, anxiety and sometimes panic gripped me at night, and I couldn't sleep and began to lose weight. I knew I needed help, so I finally began talking to people about it, my neighbor, my mom, my doctor. I needed help, but I wasn't sure how to get it. I was worried about the stigma of checking into a hospital for mental health reasons, and I feared that they might just give me drugs to mask the problem. Luckily, I ended up contacting a psychologist who connected me to the Hennepin County COPE program, which stands for Community Outreach for Psychiatric Emergencies. To my surprise, they said they could send a counselor out to my house right away. This was truly a relief because I didn't think I could get through another night, and I was beginning to feel desperate. About 45 minutes later, a woman showed up at my door. As we talked, I began to feel better. She seemed to understand what I was feeling and agreed that I was in crisis. She told me they had an opening at their crisis center, so I packed some things and was on my way. That's the moment I started getting better. The counselors at the center were very good, and I improved quickly once I began sleeping and eating. I learned a great deal about emotional health and wellness over the 6 days I spent there. And when I got out, I continued my recovery by enrolling at the drop-in centers that are run by that same program. I recently completed training as a peer support specialist. Go Pete. And I hope that this will lead to a job where I can help others in recovery. The catharsis I experienced allowed me to get more in touch with my true self, and it seemed to free up my creativity. Before the episode, I did artwork, but now I consider myself an artist. Love that. Now my art is an important part of my well-being. I still experience anxiety often, and sometimes depression, but I have more tools and self-knowledge to help me deal with it. In peer support training, we learn that no matter what kind of mental illness you have or how severe it is, the most important determiner of improvement is the recovery environment. We also learn that the five pathways to recovery are choice, hope, environment, empowerment, and spirituality. People who feel empowered to make their own choices about their lives and who have hope in a spiritual dimension are more resilient and able to overcome their difficulties. Jacob's Well and all the good people I have gotten to know here are that spiritual dimension for me, and this has helped shape my recovery environment. Thank you for listening to my story. And Pete? Yeah. Yep. Thank you for sharing your story, Pete. It takes a lot of bravery. So God, there are people all over who struggle with many and various mental health issues and other physical challenges and all sorts of what could be seen as barriers to their lives. We give it to you to break down those barriers and to give people the courage to keep moving forward. And again, God, help us to trust that you're making everything beautiful in its time. Thank you, Pete. The next person that I want to invite up, this is the last person that is going to share with us today. You are used to seeing him up front playing guitar and singing. He's an incredibly talented musician and has a CD or two out even. And most recently, he's got the distinguished, I can't say title, distinguishing feature of being the only one among us, I believe, wearing a neck brace. So if you've seen him lately, he has run into some trouble lately. And he's going to share a little bit about that, but he's doing a lot better. He's eloquent, he's a deep thinker, and he's going to reflect a little bit on this particular season of his life. Thank you, Mark.
Hey, Don, thanks. Yeah. Hey, everybody. You know what? I get to take this off now. Part of my recovery is this is my travel getup, you know, for being in the car, being around where they just want to protect my neck as I actually broke it. About 8 weeks ago, 8-9 weeks ago. As far as seasons in my life, one of the passions that I've had has been bike riding. I don't know how many out there, like, you remember, like, the first bike you ever got. I have such fond memories of, I learned to ride a bike, my parents tell me, on a bike back when this was an old bike that had the gas tanks, you know, that were attached under, and had one pedal. And I couldn't even reach the seat, but I sat on the bar, and I pulled one pedal up, and then I'd pull it up with the same leg, and that's how intent I was on learning how to ride a bike. So at different phases of my life, I've immersed myself in bicycle riding as a lifestyle, and had been in a phase where I was commuting to work pretty much, you know, like 4 days a week, and then participating in recreational riding over the weekend. But that's not without its hazards. And, you know, I think I'd been through a stretch where I had some close calls, but had been lucky enough where nothing had actually really happened. And then over the course of about 6 months, I had two things happen. The first thing was I got hit by a car that ran a stoplight. I got broadsided, T-boned, and the amazing thing is my bike got trashed, but I was pretty much unscathed. I was bruised, sore, shaken, but miraculously unhurt. That wasn't the case what happened about 8 weeks ago when I was riding in an organized group ride with about 50 other riders out on the road. You may see, and you know, it was one of those great first early spring days we were out riding, and somehow in the group, something happened. I still don't know what. Clipped wheel or hit another rider and went into the ditch. And the next thing I know, I'm in Regent's Hospital with a broken neck. Just to fill that in, I had a fracture of my third cervical vertebrae. Just to put that into perspective, if the fracture involves damage to the spinal cord at that level, you actually stop breathing. And so, not unscathed, but also very fortunate that the injury was not more serious. And a couple things have really been helping me through this time. One of them is I'm fascinated by the parallels in this theme. Don, you probably had this all in mind when you picked us, but you know what? If you're hurting, if you've been hurt, tell your story. It's been an amazing thing to be able to come to Jacob's Well here and have people in a genuine ask, what happened? How are you? How are you doing? And for me, I think there are still moments when I'm still, even all this time, in disbelief that this all happened. And it really helps me when y'all ask me about it. Because I think I'm still trying to make sense of what happened. I'm still kind of in disbelief. And so the more times I say it, the more times I'm able to go through it, the less traumatized I am by it. And actually, I think it's a good sign. We were laughing about this. When I start to get bored with my own trauma, that's a good sign. You know what I'm saying? That's the sign that I've talked about it enough for today. So tell your story. And I think this community, I've been just blessed with the genuine compassion and concern of the people here that this is a safe place to do it. I don't say, you know, don't at the bus stop, you know, this, the guy sitting next to you on the bus necessarily, but find some safe people, safe community where you can just say, hey, you know what, I'm having a tough time with this today, or you know what, I'm really excited because I get to go back to work half time, you know. So tell your story. The other thing is, I think somehow finding a creative outlet. This is amazing hearing Pete's story about his becoming and his artistry blossoming as part of his recovery. And for me, what I've done is a little bit of journaling. I think you could call it poetry. I don't know what you'd call it exactly, but if it's okay with you, I'd like to share a little journaling, a little writing from this period. This first one is about being hit by a car. You know, we have certain expectations that you go through life and you kind of, like if you're driving down the road, you expect the other cars to stay on the other side. And, you know, you expect people to stop at stop signs. And there's this set of expectations we think we share. And so here's some reflections on this. It's called Questions Regarding a Fall. Which should be more astonishing, knowing that you're about to be hit by a rusty car running a stop sign, or realizing that you have been overcome by a complete sense of calm as you wait for the impact to happen? Which is harder to explain, the indifferent conspiracy of circumstance precipitating the collision, or the whispered protection of watchful pedestrian angels that prevented any serious injury? Which is more incomprehensible, the exacting randomness of chance shrapnel slicing through that one weak place in a soldier's flak jacket, or the precise providence of the paperback pocket Bible that stopped the sniper's bullet 39 pages from the student protester's heart? Which is the stranger twist of fate, almost dying or almost living? Which is the greater mystery, birth, death, or the blink in between? Accident number one. Accident number two. And the thing I like about this is that, obviously, the thing I love about the freedom about poetry is that, as opposed to just narrative, I get to enter into other people's experience and into the experience of change from all sorts of angles. So this is my trying to hold up change from all sorts of angles, all right? So this is called Maybe This Is the Way. Maybe this is the way things change in the suddenness of a crash, in a tumble of rider, spoke, and rubber, the confused wheels of an upended bicycle continuing to spin sympathetically even after your body has come to rest on the pavement. Maybe this is the way things pass in the silence of a whispered misgiving, in a decision to blow out an angry match that could have been used to reignite some old argument or set fire to the bridge we had been rebuilding between us. Maybe this is the way things progress by virtue of hindsight in the discovery that last year's soccer shoes are now bursting at the seams, unable to keep pace with the child's feet determined to double their size. Maybe this is the way things transform in the subtle shifting in the angle of this morning's sunlight, in the gentle thawing of frozen ground, in the coming of radiant energy and light to regions of the soul so long held in shadow. Maybe this is the way things unfold in the relaxing of a tight-fisted grip on a belief about the way things should have been, in the grief of trees letting go of last summer's leaves, in an unforced opening up to the budding sense of possibility and wonder hidden somewhere deep in the reality of change and the inevitability of loss. Thank you.
Boy, I don't know how to follow that. Class dismissed. Thank you, Mark. Wow. It's interesting. I don't get a chance to listen to poetry very much. I don't know about you guys, but it uses a different part of your brain, for sure. That's beautiful. So let's pray. God, for people who are experiencing sudden changes and some loss, some building up, for people to somehow find the strength to share their story and to be in a community where they can be built up and that their loss can be understood and recognized and that God can be in that. So God, again, we trust that you are making everything beautiful in its time. Amen.